We are joined right now by a Pac-12 football analyst and a filmmaker and a New York Times bestselling author and host of the Yogi Roth Show podcast. Good friend of the program. He holds the honor of being the very first in-studio guest on CBS Sports Network and the only man who gets his own custom greeting on this program. He is Yogi Roth. And Yogi, it is game week in the Pac-12. I'm just going to come right out and say it. How great is ball, my friend?
It's so good. And we finally say it, right? We've been anticipating. We've had a couple. Well, we might say it here. We might talk about football there. But now it's finally back on the West Coast. And I'm really proud about the process. They got it back here. And I'm really excited about the teams that are about to kick off.
I'm going to talk about some of those teams with you. It feels great to have it back. You know, Yogi, I had Carl Durrell on the show yesterday. I know you've spoken to him recently. Overall, in your conversation with Pac-12 coaches, how have they approached this fall and getting ready and prepared for the upcoming season?
Well, what a great question. I think the word of the year is fluid, right? And I just got off the phone with the head coach in this conference before this, and it's taken it literally day by day, right? Because we've seen around the country where, you know, one day, one test can change the trajectory of your program and what's going on with it. So I think that's the word. I also think that for coaches like Carl Durrell and some of the new coaches in this conference, the time away from the game, at one time you were like, man, this is going to be bad for Colorado. Carl Durrell needs to get on the field with his players. And now I look at how the season has kind of shaped out in terms of being postponed. He's had a lot of extra time in terms of 12 hours per week to be with his team on the field, unique time with his players, of course, on Zoom, powerful time around social justice and everything that the Buffs are doing as an example, that I think it's going to allow first-year coaches like him to not be at the disadvantage that we thought they would be when spring ball got postponed and training camp got postponed. I think it's actually going to be a relative net positive for programs like that in terms of how they've prepared for their upcoming season.
Yogi Roth is joining us. All right, so Oregon is number 12 in the AP poll. They're going to open up against Stanford. What kind of a season are you expecting from the Ducks now that Justin Herbert is in the NFL?
I can't wait, man. I'm excited for this program. Now, it's to be noted, they lost every starter on the offensive line, right? They didn't return, I think they returned one start, which is the youngest in the country. 74% of their team are underclassmen. But Mario Cristobal has recruited as well as anybody in the country since he's become the head coach there. They also, I think they've got an incredible culture. And I think culture is going to be, it's dramatically overused. But I think this year in the Pac-12, it's a critical word because if you have one that's built upon discipline, built upon trust, built on all the things that every coach says to his team, then you're going to be able to hopefully stay relatively COVID-free. You're also going to be able to focus with no crowds, especially if you're young, and focus on the goal that you had, which for Oregon coming into the season pre-pandemic with the likes of Penei Sewell, Javon Holland, Thomas Graham Jr., Brady Breeze. Those are players that have opted out for the NFL. They were loaded. I mean, they were the darling pick for the college football playoff outside of Bama, Ohio State, and Clemson. So I think that their culture, next man up, some of the younger players that I referenced among that percentage of youthful underclassmen, I think they're going to meet the moment. I really do. I don't think it'll be easy. I don't think they need to win with style points like we thought a couple weeks ago when the 7-game schedule was announced. I think because the Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, I think they've taken that conference out of the playoff discussion. I think if the Ducks can go undefeated, which I think they can, they'll have every opportunity to get to the playoff. And by the end of the season, with their new offense, new coordinator, new quarterback, and, oh, by the way, probably best running back in the conference, and C.J. Verdell, they have a chance to make some real noise. So I'm buying on the Ducks. I'm all in on them. It won't be an easy road by any stretch, but I love what they're building there, and I think they're really creating a lot of steam for the years to come.
Pac-12 firing up. Justin Herbert is moving on. Yogi, I got to get your thoughts on him. What about Herbert? What do you make of the job that he has done since taking over as starter for the Chargers?
Well, you feel it just like I do, man, in this community here in Southern California. He's really respected, right? It's not like he came in and just had to play because of injuries. I mean, he's played because at a high level because that's who he is. You know, I go back to why he returned to Oregon for his senior year. It wasn't only to take a team that went 4-8 his freshman year when he was thrust into the limelight to a Rose Bowl like he did last year, but it was to learn how to become a pro. And he hasn't flinched on this stage. You know, his maturity has shown. His ability to just do his job has shown. I think when I watch him, I don't see him over-trying and trying to make plays that a lot of guys can make in college because of undisciplined defenses or just defenses being out of position a little bit. I don't see that. I see him operating, but not being robotic. So I'm excited, and I think his personality fits L.A. regarding he's not looking for attention, he's not seeking a spotlight, but he can handle it. And I think that's the mixture, that's the potion for somebody who could be a superstar in the face of a franchise. And I think that's him. And I'm quite honestly, I'm not surprised by the way that he's played by any stretch of the imagination, because this is who he is. Dude's an elite passer. He sees the field really clean. He's brilliant. And you talk to him in terms of the type of mind that he has. So processing and handling the hype and the stage has really been impressive. And I kind of expected it whenever he got his opportunity.
I couldn't be more impressed. I love everything about the guy. It's everything to the points you just made. He's cerebral. He can beat you with his arm, with his legs. The guy's not afraid at all. Really good athlete. I love the guy and the way he's playing. Yogi, what about USC? They're number 20 in both polls. They open up against Arizona State. What are your early thoughts on the Trojans this season?
Really anticipating watching them compete. I mean, if you think about it, the quarantine and all the postponements, no team has probably benefited more in terms of recruiting, the brand. I mean, if you asked a fan, like, hey, who did USC play last? I don't think everybody would say Iowa in their bowl game. And, you know, they couldn't deal with the defensive front of the Hawkeyes. I don't think anybody's going to say that. I think they're going to say, man, they're crushing recruiting. Did you see that new video that they took down on Twitter? You know, they're working on the branding. They got this great quarterback. They got skill positions for days. That's going to be the narrative on them, and they're right. The challenge is they're going to get tested right off the bat against a team in Arizona State that has, I think, an NFL player at every position. You know, they got real depth, but as does USC. So I think the reason I would pick SC in the South, which is what I would do heading into the season, is not only they're going to score a lot of points. I mean, that's college football that we're in, and they got elite receivers. We know all that. But it's the middle of their defense, man. You know, they lost Jake Tafele, who opted out, who I thought was the best interior defensive lineman in this conference. But they return a bunch of players who played a lot, like Marlon Tuipulotu. He's been playing since he got on campus. At linebacker, Pala'ie Naoteote, I'm telling you, watch number one. He'll be all over the field. He's one of my favorite players in the country. And then Talanoa Hufanga, their starting safety. You know, he's kind of been mentored a little bit, I understand, by Troy Polamalu over the course of the last couple months. He's a guy that could have easily opted out. So I look at the middle of their defense, and I think it's real. Granted, new defensive coordinator, new system. But if they can get the play that is expected out of their corners, which they'll get tested in this conference, as you know, they'll have a chance to take a run at this thing and be undefeated. Explosive plays have been an issue for them over the last couple of years. They can eliminate those. I think they're going to have a chance to bring back the swagger, bring back, you know, all the attention, all the limelight, all the historical elements that we've come to love USC for. I think they had a chance to do it because I think they have the horses down the middle of the defense that will allow them to slow some teams down.
It is great to not only talk ball, but talk Pac-12 ball. Yogi, what about the Pac-12 overall? Do you see a pathway for a Pac-12 team to the college football playoff?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll flip it on you. Like, you watch all these games, and I think the staggered start has been brilliant. Like, I don't want Corona to ever be a part of our lives again or a pandemic, but I love the staggered start to a season because you don't miss any games. So I've watched Oklahoma, huge brand, incredible program. They don't look that impressive, though, in terms of being an elite program where you just give them the benefit of the doubt. Same thing with Georgia, same thing with Florida, same thing with Michigan, same thing with all these big brands that a lot of the times I think because of either weak non-conference games or, you know, 6-0 start, all of a sudden they're just lauded and given the benefit of the doubt. Now, because of the lack of games, I don't know if you'd agree, but you kind of watch and you're like, yeah, if like Cal or ASU or Oregon or SC or Utah, if they went and had to go play or UW had to play any of those teams that I just referenced, I wouldn't be scared of those games. I just wouldn't. I think everybody kind of looks the same. So I think that's going to benefit the Pac-12 because I think the committee, of course, is watching every game. And because of the staggered start, have been able to probably focus even more on some of these other teams in these conferences. So I don't think that the Pac-12, by any stretch of the imagination, is out because of just the above-average play by some of the elite blue-blood programs that we've seen. So an undefeated team to me gets in, and I don't even think it's a big discussion, but I don't know. What do you think? That's crazy?
Yes, no, I don't. I would agree with you. I think that's fair. I mean, I want to see how this all plays out and how they look, some of these teams we're talking about in the Pac-12, but yes, nobody else to me is standing out head and shoulders above everybody else. Yogi, I want to ask you about something. I want to step away from football for a moment and talk about life. This is something you and I do pretty frequently when you come on. I want to ask you about your mom for a moment. She passed away on October 20th, and you wrote a beautiful reflection about her and how she lived her life. and the fact that she was a daughter of Holocaust survivors. What was your mom like as a person?
Oh, man. I don't know where you're going to go with that. I appreciate you bringing that up. She was awesome. She loved college football. She loved when I came on your show. She always would tune in, man. So thanks for doing that, because always brought a big smile to her face. But I'll never forget this. I was with her, and she had lung cancer, and she was diagnosed on Christmas Eve, which was the day we found out we were having a baby boy. So it was kind of like that whole life in, life out moment. And she competed like you'd imagine, you know, somebody that I'm like my parent to compete, like daughter of Holocaust survivors to compete. She just wouldn't flinch. And it was the last couple, it was really one of the last days I was with her, and she was frail. You know, cancer had kind of taken over her body, and she was changing her bed, changing her sheets. And I say, "Let me help you." And she goes, "No, Yogi, you can tie me, but I'm going to do this on my own." She just had this grittiness to her. So she did it. And as she was doing it, and you have to imagine, if she was picking up one sheet, Jim, it'd be like you picking up a 50-pound dumbbell. I mean, she barely could do it. She didn't have a lot of energy. She couldn't catch her breath because where the cancer was located, right next to her heart. And she said, "You know why I love sheets so much?" And I said, "No, Mom, I have no clue." And she goes, "Because when I was a kid, I slept on newspaper, and I slept in a drawer. We didn't have any money. And my mom, once we came to America, she said, when we save up money, we're going to make sure we have great sheets in this house." And she turned to me and she said, "Yogi, when you're at somebody else's home who is an immigrant, who is a refugee, who had nothing, and you sit on their bed and you see the sheets that they have or the pillows that they have or all the things that, you know, they may have that you would perceive as nice, recognize they probably didn't have any of that. And somebody had to really go to work. And somebody had to compete. And somebody had to have grit. And somebody had to have, you know, charm. And somebody had to have passion. Somebody had to have heart. Like, somebody had to have all those intangibles just for the simple thought of, hey, I want to put sheets on a bed." And what that did for me was not only like brought tears to my eyes hearing her share that as I thought about my mom sleeping on newspaper, but it also like reminded me of like where you come from, right? And I think it's really important now, and I've urged so many people who are parents who, you know, are into their last stage of life to like share with their kids. Because us as children, we need to know that we're a part of something greater than ourselves. Like for me, that cemented like that made sense. That's why I'm so gritty. That's why I'll take anybody, you know, to the carpet all day long. Like, I just have a no flinch, no quit mentality in life. That's why it's a walk on to him as a broadcaster. But hearing it, my mom tell this story made sense to me of like why, you know, I am the way that I am. And I just urge parents to tell those stories and kids to ask them, because it would have killed me if somebody told me that story when we were sitting Shiva for her versus her telling me that. So yeah, as a human, man, she was awesome, and I appreciate you asking me about her.
Yogi, I'm really sorry for your loss, but what an amazing story that was you just shared. I'm so glad that you did that, and she sounds absolutely amazing. Yogi Roth, Pac-12 football analyst. He's a filmmaker. He's a best-selling author. He is host of the Yogi Roth Show podcast, good friend of the program as well. Yogi, great to have you on. Great to hear your voice. I am very sorry for your loss, but what a great story. Listen, have a great weekend. Ball is back, and I know you and I will do it again soon.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Lots of love. Appreciate it.
You're the best. Yogi Roth is one of the most interesting people I know, honestly, in or out of the business. And that is an amazing story he told about his mom.